Happy New Year, sports fans! This is the voice of America's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Joining us once again on the Voice of America from Johannesburg is our African football guru, David Legg. Happy New Year, David!
Thank you, Sonny, and best wishes to all our listeners from Cairo to Cape Town, from Madagascar to the Cape Verde Islands, all over the continent.
David, as we look forward to 2015, the 30th edition of the Africa Cup of Nations, just around the corner in Equatorial Guinea, it kicks off on January 17th. And I know you mentioned it on a previous show, David, but this really is shaping up as one of the most competitive Nations Cups in recent years. Your thoughts?
Yes, Sonny, I'm quite prepared to stick my neck out. I was actually talking today to Andre Aronsa. He was the goalkeeper in the South African 1996 Cup of Nations winning squad. And we were almost in total agreement. I had 7 potential winners of the competition, and he had 6. And his 6 were also included in my 7. I'm feeling particularly brave, Sonny, so I'm going to stick my neck out. I'm going to go through this group by group. And what I would like you to do, Sonny, if the form goes haywire, you must please destroy the tape so it cannot be held in evidence against me. Sonny, if we look first of all at Group A, that's very much a Central African group. You've got Equatorial Guinea, the host nation, Congo-Brazzaville. You've also got Gabon, and you've also got Burkina Faso. Now, I'm going to be very bold and say that I don't see any of those 4 countries as potential champions, and Andre Aronsa happened to back me up on that one. Gabon could be one to watch, Sonny. They've got in Aubameyang, a very good striker, and a crucial thing, which we both sort of agreed on in our chat today, was it the conditions. For example, the North African teams, Algeria and Tunisia, may battle a bit to adapt to the conditions of Central Africa. But that said, I'm writing off Group A in the sense I don't see a potential winner of the competition coming from there. If we move on to Group B, that's Tunisia, Zambia, DR Congo, and the Cape Verde Islands, I am going to say Tunisia are potential winners because they were very impressive in the qualifying competition. And, for example, they went to Egypt and won 1-0 in Cairo. And Egypt may not be as strong as they have been in the past, but nevertheless, very few countries go to Cairo and win, even in the days when the Pharaohs are struggling a bit. So I'm putting them down, Sonny, as the first of my potential champions. I know Zambia won in Central Africa in 2012, but I just don't see them repeating that feat. DR Congo, potential quarterfinalists, same with Cape Verde, but certainly not potential champions. So far, Tunisia I'm marking down as my potential champions. In Group C, I feel, Sonny, all 4 countries are potential champions. That's Senegal, South Africa, Ghana, and Algeria. Andre Aronsa disagreed with me in that he feels that the club form shown by the Senegalese, particularly in the English Premier League, is not replicated when it comes to the national team, so he didn't see them as potential champions. Algeria, number 1 in Africa. I think the key with them, Sonny, is can they adapt to the conditions? They've certainly got the footballers capable of winning the competition, but how are they going to cope with the conditions in Equatorial Guinea? That is the big question mark. The South Africans, finishing top of a group, which included Nigeria, that's sort of a dream beyond their wildest imagination just a few months ago. But now comes the real test. They passed the qualifying hurdle. Now let's see how they cope against the really big guns. They're going to miss Muyiwa, there's no doubt about that. And the original first choice that he replaced, Atumaleng Kune, he's injured and is unlikely to travel to Equatorial Guinea. And also, Sonny, one or two questions about the South African defense. But nevertheless, given the fact that they've done so well, I think you cannot dismiss their chances. Ghana, too, looking at my record, Sonny, in the last four tournaments, they finished third, second, fourth, and fourth. Now, that's a team that's sort of been knocking on the door for so long now, and they've got the likes of the IU brothers, they've got Asamoah, Guyane. So you've got to say that they are potential champions. Where I disagree with Andre Arantza is Senegal. When you look at the list of strikers they've got, let's take, for example, Mame Diouf. He scored twice for Stoke at the weekend in England. Papiss Cissé, he scored for Newcastle at the weekend. And then you've got Sadio Mane, who scored for Southampton against Chelsea. They've got an absolute embarrassment of riches. And I think, Sonny, the key question with Senegal is, can that good club form be translated into the national team? They've also got a very good coach in Alain Giresse, the former France star. So I'm adding all of those four countries to Tunisia as potential champions. Then we move on to Group D, which is Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Mali, and Guinea. And I believe the two countries who stand up here are Cameroon and Ivory Coast. Let's look at Cameroon first, a disastrous World Cup, but they've bounced back really well. Eto'o's retirement, in my opinion, was a blessing in disguise because I think he was causing more trouble than he was worth. And another troublesome character, Alex Song, he was dropped from the national squad. Full credit to Volker Fink, the German coach. He's really stuck his neck out. And he's also stuck with Cameroon. I think after the shenanigans of Brazil at the World Cup, many people would have said he would have fled back to Germany. But he's stuck with the Indomitable Lions. And they'll definitely be contenders. I mean, any side that can take the Ivory Coast apart in Yaoundé by 4-1 have got to be considered. And then, Sonny, last but not least, the Ivory Coast. In an interesting situation now, because for the first time since 2006, they're not going to be the title favourites. So some of the pressure is off them.
Hi, Didier Drogba, striker from Ivory Coast.
They also won't have Didier Drogba. And there are certainly question marks about them, particularly that 4-1 hiding in Cameroon and also the 4-3 defeat at home by the Democratic Republic of Congo. So they don't look as strong as they have been in the past, but football is a very funny game. And it may well be that perhaps a weaker Ivory Coast team on paper may well prove a stronger threat. I think the fact that they're no longer the favourites, Sonny, is going to be a big plus for them. So, sticking my neck out, I believe the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations winners will come from the following seven countries. It will be either Tunisia, Ghana, South Africa, Algeria, or Senegal, Cameroon, or Ivory Coast. And dark horses, Sonny, keep an eye out for the Cape Verde Islands. They won't win the competition, but I think they could upset a few people before they're eliminated themselves.
Finally, David, as we look forward to another exciting year in African football, can we also look forward to a few of your very challenging African football quiz questions?
Oh, yes, Sonny. I'm working hard on it. I think we'll maybe bring in the new year next week with one. I'm determined to stump everybody from Cairo to Cape Town, from Antananarivo to Pry over there in the Cape Verde Islands. My philosophy, Sonny, for 2015 is that no one is going to get these correct answers. Obviously, with the Nations Cup almost upon us, as you said, just a couple of weeks to go now, the questions will, of course, be based on the Cup of Nations. So for all those Sunnyside of Sport listeners who love taking part in these quiz competitions, you better hone up on your Africa Cup of Nations knowledge.
We look forward to those quiz questions, David.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello, everybody. From that very first broadcast during World War II, and ever since, the voice of America has been the voice of freedom. So on behalf of the American people and the millions around the world who draw hope and strength from your work, thank you all for being the proud and steady voice of America.
Voice of America!
And thank you, President Obama, for your support of the Voice of America. President Obama is a big sports fan, and I'm guessing he might have watched on television a bit of the 7th annual Winter Classic at Nationals Park, located about 1 mile from our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. Nationals Park is home to the Washington Nationals Major League Baseball Club, but on New Year's Day, Nationals Park was transformed into a big outdoor ice hockey rink. The Washington Capitals hosted the 5-time Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks in the ice hockey contest. More than 42,000 fans packed the park for the one-off outdoor game, which is said to net millions of dollars in ticket sales, television advertising, and memorabilia for the National Hockey League. And for the record, the hometown favorites, the Capitals, won the game 3-2, and they won it in thrilling fashion with a tie-breaking goal with about 12 seconds left in the Winter Classic. The goal was scored by Troy Brower, who used to play for the Blackhawks. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments at my Facebook page. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports New Year's shout-out for Sule Terawali, my Voice of America engineer this evening. Kick it, Sule!
Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio show. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports at 1800 UTC to be co-hosted by Kim Lewis and Yahayas Wuhib. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Happy New Year, Namdi!
And a happy Kwanzaa to you, Sonny.
Namdi, let's talk about 2014, the year in boxing. Your pick for Fight of the Year.
Well, my pick for Fight of the Year will be Nicholas Walters from Jamaica against Nonito Donaire, right here in my backyard at the Home Depot in Los Angeles. Nonito Donaire is from the Philippines, and he's destroyed all this super bantams, and bantam was the man and all the hype. And he had this card from Jamaica by way of Panama, just came into L.A. and then knocked him out cold, and it was just quite a fight to watch. So I will go with Nicholas Walters from Jamaica against Nonito Donaire from Philippines.
Namdi, your choice of Fighter of the Year for 2014.
Well, it's a controversial call because I look at two different things, you know. Yeah, well, is this fighter a pull? Can he pull numbers? Can he put eyes on television? Can he put seats in the house? And the only fighter that can do that today is Money Mayweather. You can say all you want to say about the Money Man, that he's been hand-picking or cherry-picking, but he's the only fighter today that could do the pay-per-view numbers we talk about after the fight. So I will give it to him. And mind you, he did two fights in a year, which is rare.
Namdi, we'll talk more about Floyd Mayweather, but let's talk about African fighters and how they did in 2014. Your thoughts?
It was a bad year for African fighters in the U.S. because, you remember, this is the mecca of boxing in the USA. Take you back to the 80s, the 90s, Azuma Nelson doing his thing on television, Ike Bazooka Kwate, John the Beast Mugabe. We're all very happy. But today, what we see are fighters just coming in from Africa and getting knocked out on TV. And we see all our stars rebuilding. I'm talking about Sharif the Lion Bogare from Uganda rebuilding. And then...
That's what I'm lucky for. That's why the people call me. In Nigeria, people call me Playboy. But that was my whole name.
Yeah.
But when I travel overseas, I'm like... I'm a lucky boy.
Lucky boy in Hollywood.
Lucky boy in Australia, lucky boy in Hollywood.
Wally Amato showed the Playboy rebuilding. Samuel Peters also rebuilding. So it's that rebuilding they're doing, and I would say it's not been a good one. But one bright spot is from South Africa. He is from KwaZulu-Natal. His name is Thembiso Mchunu. He's a cruiserweight. He's a North American Boxing Federation cruiserweight champion. And he's really done very well, and he's from KwaZulu, South Africa.
Namdi, you mentioned the Ugandan Lion, Sharif Bogare, rebuilding. Pretty good year overall for the Ugandan Lion. Do you see a title shot for him in 2015?
Definitely the title fight for the Lion, because, one, he's what we call a television fighter. He brings eyeballs to television. The TV executives like him because he's a showman. He can fight. He only lost one fight. So see 2015 for him being a year he will strike and go for the title.
Namdi, what about the situation of the fight game in your homeland of Nigeria? Do you see it being resuscitated in 2015?
Big country, Nigeria, they've always been football crazy, from the minister to everybody to the president. It's all football, football, football. But forgetting that country's blessed with talent, you know. We see something new that just happened recently in Nigeria where television finally stepped in. You know, we have what's called GoTV, had their first show. And GoTV is a subsidiary of a Super Sport from South Africa. And if you look back at the boxing in South Africa, without Super Sport in South Africa, there will be no boxing. So we look for big things to happen in 2015 with television stepping in. And a couple of big boys are ready to make some big announcement in 2015. And I'm glad that I'll be part of this announcement. And hopefully, spring of 2015, something big will happen in Nigeria with boxing.
It sounds like you anticipate more fights being televised in Nigeria.
Television is the game. If you don't have television, you rely on people coming in, paying at the door, you lose your shirt, you know. So with television finally stepping in, talent's there, people will come out, sponsors will finally come on board, the fight game will be back with where it was in the 80s when we had Obisi Anwapa. I mean, those days we had some great fighters like Darazin, Abraham Tonika. These were guys that were really putting on great shows in Nigeria.
Nnamdi, let's look ahead to 2015 now. I know a heavyweight bout in the middle of January has caught your eye, and you're going to be packing your bags for Vegas.
Voice of America!
Tell our Voice of America fight fans about that.
Sonny, America's been waiting for a heavyweight champion of the world since days of Mike Tyson. January 17, they call him the Bronze Bomber. His name is Deontay Wilder. He's going to take on the champion, Bermaine Stevens, January 17 for the WBC heavyweight title at MGM Grand Casino. The Bronze Bomber, 32 fights and 32 big knockouts. Bermaine Stevens, 24-1-1 with 21 knockouts. Sonny, in the fight game, we call this a Picasso, which means it won't be pretty. Somebody will go down. It won't go 12, man. So I must be ringside for this one. It's going to be real, real bomb dropping. And the big one. I mean, Sonny, the champion is 6'4". The challenger is 6'7". And both guys can pack a punch. So it's like dropping bomb, you know. So it's we call it a Picasso.
Nnamdi, would the winner take on Vladimir Klitschko?
Well, that's what we hope. But, you know, Vladimir Klitschko don't need these guys because they can fight. So Vladimir Klitschko will just stay in Germany, make his money, pull in 18,000 people, and he will run away from the winner of this fight. But, you know, hopefully HBO will put up the money, the winner of this fight will look really good, and they will force a fight because the winner of this fight will be the legitimate heavyweight champion of the world.
Nnamdi, you mentioned Floyd Mayweather as your fighter of the year for 2014. How likely is it that Floyd will finally face the Pac-Man, Manny Pacquiao, in 2015?
Sonny, interesting thing here is that both guys have said they want to fight May 2nd. And then what's stopping it? Well, we have lots of players here. I mean, we're talking big money. We're talking a fight that could bring in $300 million, you know. So what's holding up this fight? The players outside the ring, the promoters, the advisors. I mean, everybody wants a piece of this. Then on top of that, Manny Mayweather wants two-thirds of the money. Two-thirds of $300 million. That's no chicken change. Forgetting that the other man from the Philippines, Pac-Man, he's also a big draw. So if you want two-thirds of the money, that's just not going to happen. If you want maybe a 60-40 split, that's reasonable. So this fight is something that the whole world wants to see. We got a couple of Arab sheikhs coming in here to say we could have the money, 120 for Floyd Mayweather and this, but the real deal, it has to happen in America, and the fight fans want to see this fight, and both guys want it on May 2nd.
Nnamdi, the fight fans do want to see this fight, but in terms of where they're both at now in their careers, a little past their prime, what difference does that make at this point?
Well, this fight would have been a great fight 5 years ago. These guys are just towards the end of their career, so Pac-Man got bombed by Marquez, and Mayweather is not what you call a knockout artist now. He will struggle for 12 rounds but still win a decision. And people just feel, oh, he won't stand and fight. He's just running. So if this happened 5 years ago, maybe by now we'll have seen three fights out of these two guys. But right now, people are just getting tired. Everybody's looking greedy. And the fight fans just say, look, guys, if you guys don't fight, we're not going to pay to see you guys fight anybody.
Is there anybody else besides Pac-Man for Mayweather and Mayweather for Pac-Man, Nnamdi?
Well, rumor came out that Floyd Mayweather offered Miguel Cotto $40 million for Miguel Cotto, Floyd Mayweather 2, so that they can take away that May 2nd, Cinco de Mayo date from Canelo. In the meantime, Alvarez Canelo from Mexico wants to fight Miguel Cotto, but Miguel Cotto is not really interested in fighting Canelo, because there's a $40 million sitting there from Floyd Mayweather. The question becomes, will fight fans jump in and buy Floyd Mayweather, Miguel Cotto too? I don't think so, Sonny.
So right now, Nnamdi, that May 2nd date is kind of a sticking point.
Sticking point. Now, you don't have that much time, Sonny. If you're talking about a mega fight, you better start hitting the drums right now. You better start screaming right now, because January is here. Before you know it, February, you need a solid 5-6 months to do a mega promotions for a big fight. So they better make a deal ASAP.
Nnamdi, let's give a shout out for Amir Khan from Britain, of Pakistani origin.
Setting this whole event up for me, coming to Peshawar. A lot of people saying it's very dangerous, but, you know, I want to thank these people for doing that. Also, I want to thank the General Raheel Sharif for putting all this together for me, and also General Asim Bajwa.
He recently visited Peshawar, Pakistan, the scene of a deadly attack by the Taliban. More than 130 children were killed. Your thoughts on Khan going to that school, Nnamdi? What does it mean symbolically?
I'm really happy to see him returning to his roots, because when this man is from Pakistan but grew up in England, the reason why Manny Pacquiao is huge today, because he has this big, huge following in Asia. Khan heading back to Pakistan, to his roots, is a very good thing. But hey, he should stop waiting for Mayweather to fight him. He should go ahead and fight Ken Brooks in England and make it a big fight, and then come out of it and he can talk about Mayweather. This cat has been sitting around waiting for Floyd Mayweather, hoping for the bigger lottery. I don't see that happening.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Nnamdi likes to talk about fighters dropping bombs. Taking you back to 1982 with this one, some electro-funk from the Gap Band, You Dropped a Bomb on Me.
You dropped the bomb on me, baby. You dropped the bomb.